The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-host and friend, the Blur Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Adam is on vacation. Adam Sadursky is the editor-in-chief of the podcast, end of the publication. instead, we've got Ben Fullon here.
I'm the new Adam. Ooh. I have taken over.
See,
no, I'm kidding.
Like a shorter,
younger. Can he say?
A shorter, more Filipino Adam.
Can you surf?
Yeah.
You can?
Or yeah, I can surf, actually.
Oh, okay.
Is he surfing right now?
No, but it is a thing that he does.
Oh, yeah. No, I can surf.
Okay. Can you DJ? Can
you DJ?
Yes.
There
wow.
you go.
Okay, so maybe you could be the new Adam.
I think you should stay.
Yeah. Adam,
I vote.
You're out of a job.
You're out of here.
That's it. Hey, all kinds of stuff is going on this week. Kevin Smith got announced to play. He's playing He-Man. Who knew that was going to happen?
Yeah.
He's gonna be the brains behind a new He-Man.
Nobody wants to see that.
I mean, listen, there's somebody for everything.
It's true.
There is. The heart wants what the heart wants.
That's it. So he's gonna run the new He-Man anime, apparently. We'll talk about using the word anime to describe any old cartoon these days. There's also some stuff that happened with the Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff that happened with
the
Matrix and mm-hmm. All manner of nonsense. We'll get to all that, but we do a thing at the top of every show where we talk about things we're personally geeking out about. I guess we'll keep doing it. Adam's not around. He's not even here. He's going to miss out.
Yeah.
He's not here to say no.
Well, now we can just say whatever we want.
Yeah, I'm the new Adam, so yeah, do
there
it.
There you go.
There
it's winning
go.
My week. It's Adam. No. well, I'll tell you what. You want to start, Ben?
Sure. What's winning? Two things. One is X-Men, because Hickman's Powers of 10 and House of X are amazing, and I won't say anything more because you should read it.
Yeah, I'm
and
still
not
behind
be spoiled
by one issue. I'm
yeah, and I got
excited.
Confused. I thought it was going House Power, but it went Power.
House Power, House. Then I think it's House Power.
It's like a you know those action figures with the buttons on where you press the button and it says a thing.
Honestly, that just sounded like my entire Mortal Kombat special.
Power. House,
like
power.
left, up, right.
left up. Counter grab.
Exactly.
Into, yeah.
And
reset.
And at the end, Professor X has 30 lives, which is a huge downgrade.
I know. Oh, huge
either
downgrade.
That or it was Deku thinking on My Hero Academia. Uh-oh, I broke him. I broke the new guy.
We got a My Hero reference in there.
There you go.
Anyways, and the other thing real quick that I'm geeking out about is very specific genre, YA comic book TV adaptations.
Okay.
I'm finally catching up on Titans.
Oh, yeah, I'm one behind on that too.
It almost lost me.
Yeah.
And then Donna Troy showed up. And she saved the show for me. And now I'm kind of excited for the rest of it because there are certain other characters coming in season two. Also, bless Minka Kelly for getting some work. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do. I love her. Not loving the wig, but I love her.
Don't love most of the aesthetic.
Yeah.
But
I love to see her back. Yeah.
Yeah. I do hope in season two we get more justice for Starfire because they are not treating her well.
Nope.
But anyways, there's that. I'm going to catch up on Young Justice Outsiders this weekend. Caught up to Runaways. All the fun YA stuff. So that's what I'm geeking out about.
Yeah, I'm way behind. I still got to watch the CW show from 2013, Starcrossed.
Oh my God.
No, I don't actually know what year it's from. I just saw that it was on Netflix.
What a pull.
That's it. Bam. That's Alien YA.
Yeah.
YA with aliens. It's a Romeo and Juliet, but aliens, I think, is the pitch. So I got to get caught up on that
already.
Before I get up to anything else, you know? So I'm way behind. I'm going to get there, though.
There's a lot.
Karima, what are you? What's winning your week?
I too am geeking out over two things. I'm geeking out over some of the Mortal Kombat news.
Mm-hmm.
There's some DLCs that are dropping. I was a little annoyed because I wanted to see. Oh, maybe they're gonna drop Spawn early, but in Mortal Kombat 11, no. But we did see that the two newest characters that are gonna come to the game are Joker,
finish him,
and Terminator. Specifically, it was T8.
Old Arnold.
Yeah.
He is old.
The old Arnold. And it's old, the best he's old, looked in a video game, though.
Yes. Old man CG. Terminator.
I'm not excited for Army Hammer Joker, though. That was weird looking.
Yeah, that was weird.
Someone said that he was cute. No, thank you.
I'm also currently not very impressed with Armie Hammer, but that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah. Listen to on Wednesdays.
So the whole the other thing I'm geeking out about is I'm gonna be in Philly this weekend at the Respect Women Podcast Festival, which is all women podcasters for all 2 days at Amalgam Comics and Coffee. Ooh. In Philly. And me.
Why didn't you invite me?
I'm inviting you now. And I'm going to be a friend of the show, Angelique Roche, and my co-host for The Radical Geeks. We're going to be talking to, actually, Gitide Badaki, who is Bilquis on American Gods. She's hanging out with us for a bit, which just totally freaked me out. Like, we didn't know. She was like, hey, I see you guys are doing a show. Can I be on it? We were like, yes.
Yes. Say more right now. Yes.
So those are the two things I'm geeking out about. Hey, Danny.
What?
What are you into this week?
Oh,
I don't know why I was so mean. I'll say two things also, but one will be really quick because I haven't gotten it yet. It's in the mail.
Okay.
It'll be arriving in my home. It is Vinegar Syndrome's new re-release of the Roddy Piper classic, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Are you serious?
I've been waiting a long time for this.
Wait, this is coming in like a Blu-ray, a DVD?
Yeah, I told you. So Vinegar Syndrome, along with other companies like Severin and Shout Factory and a number of others, they all kind of Arrow. So they've got this thing that they do where they will get the old film materials for schlocky movies, you know, your weird old horror, your low-budget sci-fi, your pornos and such, and that's a fact. The producer laughed. It's true. It's part of what they do. But yeah, and they'll actually clean it up like you would a Criterion-worthy film. So they're taking Hell Comes to Frogtown, which is a movie that has Roddy Piper in it.
Yep.
It is quite a film. I would not put it on the same par as They Live, because that's even better. look, he goes to a place called Frogtown. It's frog people. You know, if you can watch a movie apes, you can watch a movie with frog people. I'm just going to put it out there. So that's that I'm getting in the mail today. I'll be consuming it immediately. And then the other thing.
He's going to eat it.
I am just.
This is also why he's so behind on on his other streaming, because I'm really
behind on my my late 70s porno. You're right. I've got a lot of catching up to do. So
Rudy Ray Moore is coming to Netflix. You'll be all right.
Here we go. But I did see this movie called Ready or Not.
Mm.
It came out this week. You know, it's August. It's kind of a quiet time for the cinema. People don't really put out movies that they want anyone to see in the month of August. It's like
everybody's on vacation.
It's the down month. Everybody's cooling their heels before it's time for the Oscar bait and your big
holiday.
Yeah,
make $1 billion before Christmas.
Your Star Wars and of course your Cats. So this is like
your Dark Crystals.
Yeah, this is your quiet month. But they put out this movie, Fox Searchlight, Ready or Not, which stars Samara Weaving, who I guess is the niece of Hugo Weaving.
Weaving's niece, yes.
Yeah, we just sorted that out before the podcast. I'm not everybody's Australian with that last name.
I thought about it as a possibility, and then I never checked, so I'm glad we looked now. Yeah. But Ready or Not is a horror movie of a type. It is an R-rated film, and the plot is this woman is marrying into a huge, rich family, and they are wealthy because they have created all of these board games. They're like a board game empire. Mm-hmm. And when you get married into the family, there's this thing that you have to do, which is you have to play a game at midnight, the midnight after you get married. And there's a box that's been in the family since the very beginning, and the box decides, they put on a blank card and out pops something on the card that says the game. And you know, it could be anything. It could be like Parcheesi, it could be, you know, like Old Maid,
it could be like Settlers of Catan,
it could be anything. all kinds of possibilities. Cards Against Humanity, which is all fine and well and good, unless what you get is hide and seek. If you get hide and seek, it means that, oopsie poopsie, the benefactor of the family, the reason why the family is so rich, requires a human sacrifice, and so of
as
course,
one does,
as one does, and so yeah, so Samara Weaving pulls the card that says hide and seek. That's what she gets, and so the movie is her trying to survive.
They think they have to kill you before sunrise. Something very bad will happen to the family.
If we don't find her and perform the ritual, we're all dead.
She comes from nothing. She's a foster kid. She's in the system her whole life. She's got no money. She's got no family. She's going up against old money.
And old weapons.
And old weapons. That's also true. It's all old weapons that they have to use. And it is hilarious.
I love a good funny
horror movie.
I was
going to say, none of this sounds happy, but you're like, this is so much fun.
Let me tell you something. I went and saw this movie, and you know what this theater was full of? Children.
What?
I don't know if that's right. It's an R-rated film. I don't know if people should have done that, but I will say this. The kids were laughing on the way out the door. They were very happy.
Okay.
It probably means a lifetime of therapy, but in the moment, they were feeling good.
I mean, don't we all, though?
And I'll tell you another thing. It's very, it's a cathartic film. A movie in which one poor person takes on a giant, unfairly wealthy family. It's a good feeling. The way I don't want to spoil it but,
until they try to kill you.
Yeah.
It's a feel good movie of the summer. It is my favorite movie of the year so far.
You can connect with it on so many levels.
I really get it. Listen, they made 17 wedding dresses, and it's fun to watch because she just wears the one costume the whole movie.
Oh, nice.
Which I love. I love that as a concept because you know the wedding dress getting destroyed sort of tells a visual narrative. Which is fun. It's really, I mean, the whole thing is great. I cannot recommend it enough. I don't think it's actually making a lot of money this weekend, so I would implore anybody, like, I believe, and I wrote an article to this effect, you should go and read it, that this movie deserves to be turned into a franchise. So please go and see it. You could make movie after movie after movie of this, I think, and Samara Weaving deserves to be a horror icon. So that's
okay.
My speech.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about He-Man.
And Kevin Smith is going to play him?
Yeah, that's right. New star of the He-Man live action movie.
For those of you who do not understand that was sarcasm. Well,
yeah, Kevin Smith. No, I mean, here's what I'll say. I do want Brian O'Halloran to make an appearance. He played Dante Hicks in the Clerks movie. I want him to be one member of the Royal Guard, and it's his day off, but he has to come in anyway.
Well, it's supposed to be anime, right? In the way, here's the thing. I think what they're trying to capitalize on is like what Adi Shankar was able to do last year with Castlevania, and this year, actually. But the thing, and I don't know this about Kevin Smith, the thing that Adi Shankar is very into is anime. Like, he went and sought out 2D animators to make that show look that good. Now, I don't know about the writing in second season, but it really looked really good. I don't know if that's what they're doing with this.
Yeah, I don't know about all that because, you know, it's Kev and Mark Bernardin who does some work for Sci-Fi. It's a podcast called Battlestar Galacticast.
Check it out. Shameless plug.
Plugging it. But yeah, it's a lot of those types of folks writing it. And yeah, my first question is, what does the word anime now mean in 2019? Because it seems to me that maybe what it means is any cartoon that has your waifu in it is now anime.
Honestly, it's really funny that you say this.
I'm leaving.
Because I got a chance.
Well, goodbye.
And I'll make it really short, but I got a chance to interview the woman who directed the Netflix special. I've been corrected and told it is not a documentary, even though it absolutely looks like a documentary. Called Enter the Anime, and she was very new to the genre and was trying to show anime from a newbie's perspective. And of course, those of us who've been watching it for a long time had questions. And so, but it was very interesting because there is this whole, Netflix has bought a lot of anime in the past year. They have a new social media thing called NX, which is basically for their anime sci-fi.
And it's a lot of original anime. They're not just buying old stuff. They're commissioning and producing a lot of weird okay stuff. Nothing's really popped at me, but
they are going back and finding a lot of original artists and creators. Yeah.
But with all the stuff they're losing, you know,
yeah,
it's like I kind of feel they're going to lose all that Marvel void. It's like HBO not having Game of Thrones anymore. They'll just throw anything at you and say like, "Is this the new Game of Thrones? Is this the new thing? Please watch."
Yeah, well, that's not, like, is Netflix going to be the new Crunchyroll?
It's like that's exactly what I was going to say. It feels like they're trying to take on Funimation and Crunchyroll, and I'm like, I can't. And for those of you who don't know, those are two, they've been a streaming service for anime almost exclusively for the past few years.
Yeah, I don't know. Just right now for me, it's like watching a political primary, you know. To me, Netflix right now is like Jeb Bush saying, please clap.
Although I do like Agretsuko, but it's absolutely not going to take the place of you know, the Marvel size hole that is there. They do have a lot of good things that are coming.
People don't subscribe to Netflix for Agretsuko.
No, yeah. They subscribe for a bunch of other things. But I'm curious to see what they're doing. I really want to see the new Ghost in the Shell because they need to fix that.
Yeah, but here's what I'll say. She-Ra.
Yeah.
Successful.
Yep. Successful third season. Just, you know,
people are amazing. Voltron was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Voltron got into some hot water. They did some stuff and then.
True.
And then they tried to fix it. Got real mad. And then, you know, it is what it is. But the bottom line is that
people were mad at She-Ra in the beginning, too. I mean.
Yeah. But the question is who was into She-Ra? And the answer was the people that they wanted to watch She-Ra watched She-Ra.
Watched it, yep.
So that was successful. The second season kind of had a dip, and then the third season kind of feels like it had a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
But people are really into that show. And so my question is. Is She-Ra anime? I don't think so. She-Ra is like a Steven Universe type of thing.
Yeah, I call it like a SoCal animation. Mm-hmm. Like that's my, and when I say SoCal, I just mean CalArts, that kind of style, which might not be an actual genre.
I was
going
to say, don't say that. I said it once, the guy who made Adventure Time, and he got very angry.
Yeah, it's not.
And
it's,
I learned an important lesson not to say.
Yeah, it's not actually a genre, but I think a lot of mainstream people don't understand the animation term, so that's why it's like, just like, it's become like this catch-all phrase for that look.
Yeah, I just think that Adventure Time was very successful and people were influenced by it, including people who worked on the show that then worked on other shows, like Steven Universe, for example. But yeah, I mean, you can see some of that DNA in She-Ra a little bit. But it doesn't sound like He-Man is going to be anything like that. I mean, we haven't seen anything, but is that the vibe you're getting? I mean, to cast Kevin Smith in the role of showrunner for this, to me, is, I don't know that you could get much further from Noel Stevenson than Kevin Smith. I mean, they're both fans, but they just, you know, Noel Stevenson is younger. She's going to bring a queer woman sensibility to it. And Kevin is a middle-aged Gen X, straight white guy from New Jersey, you know, who's going to bring what I think is sort of the classic comic book nerd quality. I mean, now I don't, you know, I mean, Kevin Smith, I will say this, has stretched himself over the years. He's done a lot of different things. You know, you start with Clerks and then you find out his nerdery from Mallrats and you know, but I've seen him do weird things. I mean, he made Tusk, Jesus. Totally bizarre, and a thing that he did that I, you know, had you told me when I first became a fan of his that he would do that, I never would have guessed, and I never would have known that he would have gone on and done some of the CW shows that he's directed, a couple of those as well. I mean, I don't know that I would have realized that he would have gained the skill to do action scenes and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that he has sort of evolved on over the years. So I genuinely don't know, but he's, you know, but he's still Kevin Smith.
Yeah. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, we're just going to get like some of the classic kind of He-Man cartoon, maybe a little bit more serious and not as like janky as it used to be.
Well, he said something about it being, you know, maybe the last and biggest battle between He-Man and Skeletor, which is bullshit, but is a nice thing to say. Like, it's a cool pitch. Yeah. The big thing is that Kevin Smith, I think, taking a sort of a page out of what was happening with She-Ra, instead of starting with Prince Adam, he's starting with Teela. And the concept is that the Sword of Power is gone, and she's on the hunt for it. So I don't know what the story is with Prince Adam at that point, but we're starting with somebody else and going from there. And we know that eventually we're going to get to some big battle between He-Man and Skeletor. So maybe they're going to try and take something from She-Ra a little bit by starting with a female pro tag rather than Prince Adam.
I don't know when that they've gotten that far, but I definitely think it's going to, because they want some of the She-Ra. I think what Netflix wants is to bring some of the Castlevania audience to be able to watch it at the, because I think what they're going to do is put it in, make it drop almost the same time as the next season of She-Ra.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to get both those She-Ra fans and those Castlevania fans.
But do you think that they'll try to do a crossover? Or do you think the animation style will be so different that they're going to keep them in their separate boxes?
She-Ra already feels super unique. I don't know who's working on Kevin Smith's show.
Yeah, we don't really know a lot. That's the thing.
That's the other thing. I mean, from the one piece of art we've gotten, it looks very different. So, I mean, I don't know how you could make that work, a crossover. But did they give a potential release date? I don't even know. But, like, it's probably so far out that we're going to forget about this in, like, a month. And then go, oh, that's great.
He-Man's coming back. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Give me some Skeletor memes out of it. That's all I want.
Yeah. Everybody loves that guy. Queer icon Skeletor.
Yeah. very true.
Yeah, facts. But, I don't know, man. I'm provisionally excited for it. And you know what? Honestly, I mean, I've seen, boy, there's so many people who do not like the She-Ra. And we'll do these fan arts wherein they look more anime-like. That's a thing that you see. So I'll tell you what, maybe you are going to...
They got time.
You are going to get your way, maybe, to a degree. Probably not as much as you wanted, but, you know, maybe a little bit. I don't know. You can't please everybody. That's a fact. Anyway, so that's He-Man. So you want to talk about Batman? It's kind of like He-Man, but with bat in
but
the front.
With bats.
But yeah. With bats.
It's exactly the same thing, except instead of a sword, it's a baseball bat.
So this week, and I'm not, there will be spoilers. We will let you know when they come. But this week in City of Bane.
Right, Batman number 77.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are not reading it and are a little confused, we are in the universe that has Thomas Wayne as Batman.
Well, he slid
thank
over.
Yeah, thank you very much, Flash, because...
Well, it's also Manhattan's fault, isn't it? Isn't that the deal? Isn't Dr. Manhattan being a complete douche? I thought that was the deal.
It really has a lot to do with Flashpoint, though. And, yeah. Like, just... Batman's just literally never seen a timeline he can't change.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, I do think it's one point Flash on his...
Yeah.
On his treadmill.
And then
one part Dr. Manhattan. I believe those are the two things.
I haven't been following the Dr. Manhattan stuff.
I believe that's the deal. So I think it's those two things. That's the reason why this alternate universe Thomas Wayne exists. The deal with Thomas Wayne is that he lives in this opposite world where instead of the parents dying, the kid died. Right. So Bruce Wayne died as a child in Crime Alley. And now he became Batman, and his wife Martha became crazy, and she's the Joker.
Yeah,
that's what that story was like. So he's now in our main universe, and Batman, Bruce Wayne, Batman has been out of the picture for a hot minute. He wakes up. All right, here's the spoilers. Right, he wakes up in this issue. That's one spoiler, Batman. But that's not the big one. The setup is Bane has taken over. Right, that's. The whole deal is...
Well, one of the things is that he's taken over and he's kidnapped Pennyworth, and he's also told the Bat family, the Bat people, come anywhere near Gotham and, you know, I'll kill him. Everybody listens, except for Damian.
Right.
Damian.
Right. And the other thing to know is that the whole deal is that he's taken over Gotham, and his argument is kind of fair, in a sense, which is that the GCPD suck.
Yeah.
At keeping law and order in Gotham City. So his argument is, I'll do it. But also...
And crime is down because everybody's scared shitless.
Right, but he's going to bring in all of the folks from Arkham. So, you know,
Gallery.
So Victor Zsasz and Scarecrow are cruising around in a cop car, you know, just being mean to people for, you know, jaywalking and shit. And that's sort of where our story here picks up. So Damian comes back. He's not supposed to come back. And the gist is that there's two people, right? So you've got like Bane, and then he's got his cronies that are kind of keeping the citizens in line. But there's two people that are really kind of supposed to keep everybody out, right? All of your Bat family people out. And one of them is the Batman, that's the Thomas Wayne Batman. And then the other one is Gotham Gal or Gotham Girl or...
Mm-hmm. Gotham Girl.
And she's got, like, Superman powers, but she got them through a cheaty cheat, and so if she uses them at all, she dies very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got a very limited lifespan by using the powers, but she's having a good time
because she's.
Okay, another.
She hasn't been trained.
Bringing it back. Yeah, so she has like, she could live a regular life by never using the powers at all. But yeah, so Damian comes back, is able to dispatch Gotham Girl.
He takes her out pretty quick, but in terms of, and he dispatches several people pretty quick. But what happens is, by the time he gets to Bane basically kicks his ass. He spanks him and
Thomas Wayne. Gets into a fight and Damian's like, you're not Batman, you're not my real dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm a grandfather, punch.
Yeah.
And wins. And then, you know, Damian is sitting there in a chair tied up and Thomas Wayne is behind him and he's like,
whoops.
I mean, dude, you were told this was going to happen and then you hear all this Bane having this speech off panel.
Very good Bane speech.
He's like, this is the thing that we agreed upon. Alfred was the one that came up with this plan. It wasn't even me. Alfred was like, hey, don't come back. Like, I'll be the hostage. And all you had to do was not show up and you showed up. And
all then, Damian had to do was sit there and eat his food. I keep saying, he just doesn't listen. He gets on my nerves.
And spoilers, the spoiler for the issue is that they then, the panel as they switch to Bane, and Bane snaps Alfred Pennyworth's neck, and that's it. He did.
Yeah. Now, I mean, and there is a very, very, very slim chance, like if you squint, that it could be Clayface or somebody. But we're pretty sure that Alfred's dead.
Yeah.
But we don't feel so bad because he's got a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
All caught up. Pennyworth, great show. If you've seen Gotham,
it's one big setup. To promote Pennyworth.
Basically.
it's all the stuff that you liked about Gotham, plus the one thing nobody likes about Gotham, which is that they're terrible at writing women.
Yeah.
If you're an ingenue, you're boned. Anyway, everything else is great about
you're
that.
You're fridged.
Yeah, so literally. But, well, no, figuratively. The point is, I don't know that he's definitely not dead forever, because that doesn't happen.
I mean, it's comics.
I was going to say, because it's comic books.
I'm sure as soon as Tom Taylor's run is over.
But here's the thing. If the option is it was Clayface, or because they showed Scarecrow earlier in the issue that it was actually just the fear gas, and so he thought he saw a thing but he didn't see it. If it's one of those options where it's not legit, or the option is he's actually dead and he stays dead for a while, which would you prefer? What do you want?
Honestly, I kind of want him to stay dead for a while so that maybe Damian will learn a lesson.
Yeah.
I just need him to learn. He's just a little shit. I'm sorry.
I hate Damian Wayne so friggin' much.
Which shows how good this is written, because we have visceral reactions to this.
I hate him so, like, sit down, eat your corn, don't do anything.
You know, corn doesn't digest.
It doesn't.
If he has a gastrointestinal problem, that's very unhealthy. I don't eat corn, and I'll tell you why, because it just doesn't digest.
I don't even know why I chose corn. I was just thinking of food.
From your own conclusions.
Anyways.
Your collard greens or your mashed potatoes.
We just need him to sit down.
He needs to learn to be quiet sometimes.
And also learn loss. Like, he was upset. He was crying. It was very clear in those panels. Like, maybe he's finally learned and will stop trying to, like, oh, I'm better than all of these other people because...
Yeah, now that you bring that, that's, like, the one lesson I feel like Damian hasn't learned is, like, loss and how to deal with it. Because every other bat person has done that. And Damian's just like, I was born into a powerful ninja family and now I'm the best.
I don't know. Maybe
that's how he talks.
All of you should worship me.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know about this. Maybe there's a different tactic we can take with him. You know, we keep saying, you know, you should sit and eat his food. Maybe if we gave him something like a tasty treat. You know?
No, because he jacked that up too.
What if you were like, Damian, here's a Choco Taco. You know, Damian, Hamantaschen, it's delicious.
Damian can't have nice things. That's the thing.
Damian's on punishment. That's the name of this episode. Damian is on punishment.
Damian Rugula. I don't know. I don't know why it is that I'm going for fruit pastries of different cultures, but maybe it's because I like both.
I don't want him to be rewarded for his bad behavior. Auntie has just jumped in. Like, no, you will get nothing.
I grew up. I was always rewarded for bad behavior. I was a whiny kid.
I wasn't. I got father's from down south, mother's from an island. I stay on punishment.
It worked out eventually. It worked out just fine. I'm fine. How dare you? Hamantaschen for Damien.
So there was other news that dropped this week too, though.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say I also believe that Alfred should stay dead for a little while, and then
I think
in 2020 they should do a. It should be like a year of Alfred. They should do just like they're doing with the TV show. They should do a prequel comic book series, or you know, like do a lot of like background stuff. Maybe they could do it where it turns out that Alfred actually, this is kind of tie into the Pennyworth show. On the TV show, spoilers.
Now, this is really, to Pennyworth.
Wait, watch this. This is so bizarre. I am blown away that they did this on the show. So mild spoilers for Pennyworth. But Alfred hooks up with Martha Wayne before she's Martha Wayne, when she's Martha Kane.
I feel like on every TV show with a Martha in it, everybody hooks up with her. Like somebody else. Like,
but hold up. I want you to. Like, what if it turns out this whole time, now that Alfred's dead, the big reveal is that Alfred was actually Bruce's real father the whole time. That's what I want.
That would be kind of cool. Also would kind of suck.
Yeah.
The other thing is they can't make too many comics and too many TV, too
you
many things about
Batman
this.
You
got to
make Batman suffer.
No, because not just that. If you make Alfred Pennyworth into practically a superhero with all these insane powers, what the hell did he become a butler? Like that's like, you know, you have to have him have some horrible loss thing where he has to rethink his whole life choices and now I'm going to just sit here and babysit some kid. No.
Wow.
I don't want him to get that many things.
I mean, I don't know, I guess we'll see. I'm just saying, I think that Alfred
should turn out to be the real dad.
I'd be interested to read about that for 10 issues and then
okay.
I'm good.
Well, no, and then they'll cancel. I mean, it won't.
They'll
it
cancel
won't last.
It, right.
They won't last, but it would be a
then
fun,
just,
weird story where it's where it seems true and then it's not true. All I'm saying
Flash
is...
Flash will just mess up the timeline again and that'll happen. So.
Alfred is Bruce's dad, Hamantaschen for Damien.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So
next.
Across the aisle next. At... well, not even across the aisle because I don't think Matrix is not owned by any of them. So no, this is a whole new thing. The Matrix news that dropped this week.
Oh yeah. So there are two... We put them off a little while. There were two huge stories that happened
across
this week.
The aisle was one of them at Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, so
which one you want to do first?
We can. Why don't we start with the Matrix? Because I feel like the other one is definitely the diciest, the angriest
We thought Pennyworth's death was going to be quick, and that went. We went sideways. We were feeding
who
Damien.
Who could say? I mean,
spoon feeding him some gruel and
some truth.
Wow.
Anyways,
you guys really are mean. A fruit pastry. That's what he needs.
If,
anyway.
If Damien would just effing listen.
Wow.
Thank you.
Anyways.
He would listen
the
to
Matrix.
To
so the Matrix.
So, you remember that movie that came out in 1999? Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, Joe Pantaleone, other people.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne. No, he was Lawrence by then.
Yep. Yeah.
I miss the Cowboy Curtis days of Larry Fishburne. But, so
you know, just a little movie that like revolutionized the genre for like a really long time. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, you know, one of those catalyst points where you can say sci-fi action movies were one way before The Matrix and then they were a completely different way afterwards. And just for the sake of bullet time, kind of a permanent change, you know, there's always a little bit of bullet time and there really wasn't a lot of that or any of that prior. So came out in 1999. So that's 20 years ago. Massively successful. Everybody loved it. Then they made two more movies. And now they're going to make a fourth one. 20 years later from the one that people liked, it was announced that Lana Wachowski, who is one of the two Wachowskis that directed the original, is going to come back to write and direct. And we know for a fact that Keanu Reeves is coming back. We know that Carrie Ann Moss is coming back.
Reeves is having a year. We
are in the middle of the Keanu-sance, and I am very about it.
But I am also happy about Jeff Darrow coming back. So
yes.
Jeff Darrow is the guy that did all the concept designs. So the a big part of the reason why The Matrix is great is because of the way that it looks. And Jeff Darrow is a big part of the reason for that. So those are the people we know are coming back. The word on the street is that most people are coming back, but what that means...
We don't know.
Yeah, we haven't really heard anything about Lawrence Fishburne yet. I do feel some kind of way about the fact that Michael B. Jordan is not tied to it anymore.
I was That was my first thought. I was like, I still kind of want to see the version of the Matrix that has Michael B. Jordan as the star.
And it was announced in 2017, and then it kind of, I guess, fell apart because we're in the Keanu sans.
Yeah.
But he gets to be Bill and Ted and
I know.
Neo.
How unfair.
I know.
Yeah, Ted Theodore Logan and Neo.
And Neo. And I don't know, I kind of wanted to see Michael B. Jordan be somebody who was sort of like born in Zion and then gets to meet old man Neo.
Yeah.
Like I kind of
wanted
that.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. But but unfortunately, I think, two things happened. One, which is the Keanu sans. And then the other thing is that I kind of feel as though 2019 was the year that we all got a really solid bead on the youth tech, the stuff that makes people look younger.
Yeah.
It's gotten so good.
That's true.
Is this not the first thing that everybody assumed? Oh, I just assumed they'll probably eventually show them older, but there's no way they're not going to do the youth tech. They'll de-age both at least Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss.
Not for the entire movie, but I do think they will do it for part of it. The other thing, no, that's not what came to mind. I thought because they were talking to, because people forget, 2018 was a very long year, but Michael B. Jordan was in talks to play the new Neo in 2017, and in 2018, Black Panther happened.
Yeah.
So I think he's on a Black Panther schedule now
for
Black Panther 2, and that's why I honestly think he might not be able to do it. But it's so funny because people forget, like, that was just last year.
It's...
I didn't think about the de-aging thing at all. I just thought we were going to get, like, old man Neo and old man Trinity.
Yeah, but everybody's using it, so you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it has been for some strange reason, time has been moving weirdly slowly since 2016. I couldn't imagine what could be the reason.
I think it's Flash again.
What could have?
What?
There you go. He was on that treadmill.
Yep.
Backwards.
That's it.
Yep.
Anyway, so what do you want? What do you want from a four? Because it's Matrix 4, right? They didn't.
Yeah.
That's the other thing they made clear. So it's not a reboot. I mean, I guess it could be. They could reboot the Matrix. I guess my first real question, to make it a little more specific, is the Matrix. Will it still be in the 90s?
No, but actually, the architect
Flip
said
phones.
That. No, but the architect said it, that they've remade the Matrix thousands
several
of times.
And
I want it to still
very
be in the 90s.
Good at it.
How cool would that be if they actually said it as a weird period piece?
Yeah.
It's still the 90s.
I also feel some kind of way that the 90s are a period piece. I'm sorry. Downton Abbey is a period piece, all right, damn it.
I think the 90s count now because it's like two decades ago.
I know,
bad news,
I know.
Grandma.
Yeah. I know.
Bad news.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought I was going to be upset about like more sequels, but like The Matrix is such a cool, weird world. They like expanded so well on it in like some ancillary materials. Like the Animatrix is amazing. It's one of my favorite things ever. The Matrix video game that starred Jada Pinkett Smith's character and the other ones also built on the world really well.
See that. I thought if with today's technology, with the Mortal Kombat technology, if they did a new Matrix game, because that sad thing about that game was that it was tied into Matrix 2, and they put so much of the story into the game, which really should have gone into the movie.
Yeah.
And the game wasn't that good because the graphics at that time couldn't do in the gaming world what they were doing on screen, but they could do it now. So it's like the twins, imagine bringing them back in like, you know, with basically all of the, or the Merovingian or the, you know, just all of the, all of those characters would exist so much differently in a parallel gaming universe.
Yeah. The world is super cool, and I didn't know how like much I was like, oh yes, I would actually like more of this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's been a long enough time, right? Because it hasn't been 20 years, but it has been 16 years since Matrix Revolutions. And I think 16 years is a long enough time that I've had a break from two sequels that almost nobody liked. I think it's a long enough time, and the Wachowskis have also had that time to experiment and be really weird, which I like. I actually like their when they do weird stuff, I'm fine with it. I enjoyed Speed Racer. I think there's something to be said about Cloud Atlas. And
there's a few things to be said.
And wow. How dare you? And then
that was neither a positive nor negative. That was simply a statement
exactly.
That things could be said.
Things could be said. Words could be had.
I know what you meant.
Oh, we're talking about subtext now.
Should I not even bring up Jupiter Ascending then?
Yeah, well,
oh, you can. I'll talk about it forever.
There you go.
But in a positive light, I love Jupiter Ascending.
It's
wow,
it's
you're
amazing.
One of the few people I know that really, really likes
love
it. That's
Jupiter
funny.
Ascending.
Oh, my God.
It's on Netflix now. You can stream it every day.
She's a bee lady.
You think I haven't?
You're like, it's on my phone.
With the bees and the, yeah. The
yeah.
bees.
Yeah.
But she's a bee lady. She's a bee queen.
But in terms of the Matrix,
she's the queen
though,
bee.
Oh, I see. I
don't
saw it coming.
Don't let Beyonce know that I said that.
See, I'm moving away. The one thing I will say that I'm looking forward to in the Matrix is I really want them to take the fandom and the storyline back from some of the, I want to say some of the darker parts of the fandom, like the
seedier parts of the internet.
Yeah,
have,
some of the incels and people that have used the whole concept of the red pill, blue pill thing. There's men's rights activists and incels who have basically said, you know, like if you're pro feminism, pro women, pro immigrant, pro anything but a straight white man, you are part of the Matrix and part of the problem. And the Wachowskis have come forward and said to those fans very clearly, this is not what this is about. This is a movie about basically being trans, right?
I mean, it's about a lot of things, but yeah, that's one of the things, right? It was because neither of them were out about that at the time, and now they both are. And yeah, so they've said pretty definitively that a movie in which there is this...
like an avatar of
this,
you.
Yeah, this avatar of you, and maybe you don't feel entirely comfortable, and it turns out it's because that's not really you and that's not really the world, could somehow perhaps be some kind of trans narrative, is to anybody who I think is trans or exists anywhere on this queer spectrum, is not a surprise.
Yeah.
Like that was never news to me, but it was news to the people on Reddit who thought that the red pill was about how feminism is evil or whatever that is. I don't really connect with that. The Wachowskis don't connect with that. And yeah, I do. I think it's a nice opportunity. I mean, you know, they did Sense8 for a while, and that was another thing that dealt with identity in a lot of ways, including trans identity. And so I hope that means that we're going to be casting trans performers in this. I think that's really critically important. And I would be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Wachowskis have reached a point of artistry wherein, I know the other things that they've done, it wasn't as big a deal if they crashed and burned. I know people want The Matrix to be a really big success when it comes back. But let's be real. If you're putting trans performers in your movie, it's going to get you a lot of attention.
Yeah.
That's the reality that we're in 2019. Some things are good about that. Some things are very frustrating about that. But I would be absolutely blown away if they didn't do that. And I do think that they'll do a little bit of making our two actors we know are coming back, there'll be at least some scenes where they look young again, then they'll skip forward to them looking older. They might do some 90s stuff. I think that would be fun. But yeah, I'm sure they could do like a Westworld thing where there's multiple different worlds.
They could.
Yeah.
You know, you could go to multiple different matrixes where it's all, what kind of matrix do you want to be in? You want to be in the 90s matrix? Do you want to be 2020 matrix? Do you want to be in a Westworld matrix? What's your dream matrix?
What's my dream matrix?
Your dream matrix.
My dream matrix is...
get that hashtag going, dream matrix.
My dream matrix is 2099.
See?
Oh, like a Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I want a Doom 2099.
Yeah.
That's my one.
Spider-Man 2099. See what you did there. Yeah. Oh.
I will say there's one question I want answered.
Okay.
In the Matrix, and like, where the hell is Tank?
I know.
Where did he go? He disappeared after the first movie.
Well,
they say what happens, yeah, but like, where did he really
go?
Yeah,
where did he go in the storyline? We know what happened with the actor, yeah. But where did he go, like, in the storyline? It's the same place that, it's why Rhodey looks so different in the second Iron Man, moving on.
What? Huh? What?
He asked
Who?
For, yeah, Iron Man. Anyway.
I'm out.
There's a Spider-Man
okay.
thing happening.
Okay. Hold on. Stop everything. Before we talk about Spider-Man, usually I say let's take a quick break, but instead, let's all take a deep breath.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Bite clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Who's ready to thread the needle
of
talking about this weird situation that is Spider-Man, Sony, and Disney?
Well, I just want to start off by saying that it's the funny thing about it is, and I'm not, before we talk about what it is, I just want to say that I was actually in the building working on another podcast when the announcement happened, which we will get into in a second. And just the general reaction of all of the people around me was very, very intense. It was like fandom. There was a collective cry in the fandom.
Oh, yeah. It was like the sound of thousands of voices crying out and then being
thousands
silenced.
Thousands of voices crying out at once.
Yes.
Being silenced.
Danny, the news that dropped that made everybody cry.
Is that Spider-Man.
For now.
Do you remember a while ago there was this rumor, and there's this weird rumor that was going around that the Spider-Man Far From Home film had to make more than $1 billion box office worldwide or something would break down and the Disney-Sony thing would split up? That was a rumor.
It was a rumor, right.
And then we never really found out whether that rumor was true or not because the billion-dollar thing happened. But, you know, some people maybe breathed a sigh of relief and thought, well, if that was true, then everything's cool. Nothing to worry about. And then,
Cut to
Tuesday when in fact, everything did break down. And now Disney and Sony are round one. Fight! And so maybe Spider-Man's not going to be part of the MCU anymore. And that huge cliffhanger at the end of Far From Home will be completely unresolved, and this whole thing where Spider-Man's
not
like the
necessarily.
New
I mean, the big thing on the business end was basically like the current iteration of the plan is that Marvel was making, I guess, 5% of the Sony
first look gross,
of the Sony movies, and when these two things, the last two movies, the Tom Holland movies, made all this money. And the MCU came to an end. They started doing they sat back down at the table, and Marvel, Disney was like, okay, so what's good? 50-50. And Sony was like, no.
No.
They left the table like an angry girlfriend that's just been asked to pay for her own dinner. And
it's called going Dutch.
Right. She was not happy
normal.
About that.
Yeah.
It is normal, but she wasn't happy about that. She being Sony. And they did apparently reach back out to have some type of amended agreement or try to basically, you know, sit back down at the table and discuss things again. But since then, apparently it was announced to the news this week, those talks have been broken off. And as of right this moment, this could change, but as of right this moment, Spider-Man is no longer in the Marvel MCU. He's back in Sony's hands. So it doesn't mean that we won't get another Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. It just means that
Tom Holland won't be in Avengers
right.
7.
And Feige won't be a part of it as the for the time being.
It just kind of seems as though Far From Home, the whole pitch was Peter Parker is the new Tony Stark. They kind of made a big deal of it, right? He's got he was almost like a Moses figure, right? Like the burning bush came to him and was like, "You're gonna do it." And
except
he was like, "I don't want to do it."
Except it's drones.
Except it's drones instead of that's very different. he doesn't really want to take on the responsibility.
Doesn't want to walk 40 days in the desert lost.
Yeah. But
40 years, excuse me.
There you go. Get it right or pay the price. You know, come on, man. You haven't been to enough seders. Come on. What's wrong with you?
Trust me, I went to Jesuit high school. I've been slapped across the face with a Bible more times than you can count.
Oh my God, this sounds like okay.
Anyways, it's Spider-Man.
Both of you need to go to your happy place.
I guess so.
Because this is about to go directed.
I brought up the hamantash and it's my fault. Okay.
But fans really, really were upset because they thought initially, of course, because the internet is always right, that meant there was no more Spider-Man movies. That's not true. Spider-Man Far From Home, no, I'm sorry, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was always a Sony project. So Miles is not dead. That Gwen could still come back. We still could get our Spider-Man 2099. But so don't stop panicking. This is literally about the MCU and anything that they were going to do. Like, for instance, there is the Falcon Winter Soldier show that's coming to Disney+. It would be really funny if, you know, Spider-Man made an appearance one day. That can't happen right now.
Yep.
Because they don't own that.
Yeah. And it's so hard for me personally to choose between $2 billion companies. Who do I side with?
Yeah.
This is such a hard choice for me. Look, here's the thing. I believe it's probably going to get resolved. Probably.
Here's the thing.
There's too much money to be made for it not to get resolved. It seems improbable. Not impossible, but improbable.
But they just say, I think from the outside looking in, it just looks like Sony is just playing the angry X. Like, you took X-Men. I know you made a lot of money with Spider-Man, but it's really mine. It's like, let it go. Just work together, make all the money, and you know.
At a very basic level, this is just two companies fighting through the media. And
that's the reason all this stuff is dropped, right?
Yeah.
It's the reason that this stuff is out in social media is because both companies are banking on this idea that
who's going to look better at the end?
Right. Who's going to come out looking? Who's going to come out smelling like a rose? And it's weird because you go on social media and there are massive discussions about how Sony or Disney. Right now, the last ones I saw were accusations that Disney has got these dummy Twitter accounts, sort of making these hashtags go out.
That couldn't be true.
I don't. You say that. I genuinely don't know. I do not have any kind of insider information to answer that one way or the other.
But the funny thing about that, which is really strange, is that everybody's focused on the MCU, but everybody's ignoring the fact that before that news dropped, Sony very quietly bought out all of Insomniac Games. So they now own that Peter Parker.
Well, no, they do not, because actually Marvel still owns the rights to all video games. They just license them out to the game publishers.
So that means Sony just they get money when the games
Insomniac.
Are sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Marvel and Bill Roseman, the head of Marvel Games, he's the one who works with Insomniac to create the game. Sony will just get some revenue when Insomniac sells the eventual Spider-Man 2 sequel. But if Spider-Man doesn't come back to the MCU, Marvel is known to be a little vindictive in terms of how it treats properties that aren't part of the movies.
So that might get yanked. Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting how they quietly just bought the company. And then 3 days later...
Well, Insomniac 2 has and this is a whole other podcast, but Insomniac 2 does have a couple other properties that I think Sony wanted to just bring into its studio. And they were Insomniac was already making mostly PS4 exclusives anyway, it just...
That's true, because there's no Insomniac games on. And it's so funny. I'm talking like I'm a gamer on this episode, and I'm not. I just like certain fighting games that all happen to me. Yeah, I do. I just combat and Tekken and Spider-Man.
That's fair.
I think here's the thing with Spider-Man. They're going to resolve this because the Spider-Man movie wasn't on the docket for at least 2 years. So they have a lot of time to sit down and be angry at each other, and then they'll come back and be like, all right, we'll both make $1 billion.
Yeah. I have two opinions. One, do I think that Disney and Sony are capable of using social media to try and manipulate people through hashtags to make one or the other look good or bad? Yes.
3,000%.
Do I think they're definitely doing it? I don't know. Do I think they're probably doing it? Yes. I believe that they probably are.
But can that actually affect a merger?
Yes, of course it can.
I don't know if Twitter can. I really don't.
I think that public perception matters. So yeah, I do think that, I do believe that that's a thing that at least is possible. And the other thing I'll say is, unless something else changes, James Gunn came back to Guardians. So if that giant clusterfuck get resolved then this can get resolved.
And
that was resolved. A massive, massive mess. Because the thing is,
I think it can get resolved. I just don't think the public did that.
I think that the public got him fired,
but I don't think the public got his job back.
I believe that the public perception had an impact.
Yeah.
On both those things. But what I'll say is this. It showed, I actually think that shows that public perception does matter. And I think it also shows that Disney, who I think prior to this was, once they'd made a decision, that was that. I think it is shown that they are willing to move if they need to. So I think what's going to ultimately probably end up happening, and I know that this is dangerous, dicey for me to say this because whenever I say something, I'm always wrong, but hopefully I'll be right about this. I think that
only
it's
only on the internet.
I just don't think
not on the podcast.
Yeah. 50-50, I don't think that's going to happen, but some smaller percent, I think that the needle's going to move on how much money Disney gets and what the deal is. Yes, I do think that that happened. I think that Disney has certainly proven that their influence was very good for Sony as far as Spider-Man is concerned. Into the Spider-Verse aside, you know, because for all we know, Feige was involved, because the rumor is that Feige was involved in Venom and his name was just never on it. So we don't really know, but we just know that prior to that, there were two amazing Spider-Man movies that did not great. And there were supposed to be all the other movies that didn't happen, Sinister Six movies and all these things that didn't occur, and that Sony was in really rough shape as far as Spider-Man was concerned until Disney came in and Tom Holland came in, and then all of a sudden it was a different story. So do I think it'll get resolved? Yes, I do. Do I think the deal's going to be 50-50? I doubt it, but no. I think it'll be probably somewhere in the middle.
This is all just one big media spat, so that's Disney can make like an extra 5%.
Yep.
So
I agree.
And I mean, like, we're talking about this, like Tom Holland Spider-Man is the most important one when it's actually Miles Morales, so.
Bam.
There you go. Tell your friends.
Anyway, that's that. Hey, here's my question to you. Now that we've talked it all out, what do you think won the week? Of all the stories, what is the thing that captured you most, you liked the most? What won the week? Tough.
It is tough, because there's so many things. I'm going to say The Matrix. Because that was an up for me. I'm looking forward to that one.
We didn't mention this, but I wanted to mention really quickly. Saga released their compendium
A
month early.
That's true.
So that's a bit of news that I'm just going to drop right now.
That
and
actually
be like,
made me sad because I couldn't get to the comic book shop on Wednesday.
I feel that was the opposite of Walking Dead going, surprise, we're done.
Yeah.
So I was like, surprise, here's a 1,000-page hardcover. Because I'm two trades behind and I need to like finish it. So now I'm going to go pick up the hardcover compendium.
And for people who don't know, it's that they said they were going to end, they meaning Brian K. Vaughan, they said they were going to end Saga at
108,
right? Mm-hmm. And this is basically the first compendium, which is the first 55 or 56.
54.
And this is all the things. The second one is, you know, these are collector's items, but they were like, oh, it's January, oh, it's spring, oh, it's October, oh, wait, no, it's today.
Now. Yeah.
And you're like, what?
So you're going to say that that's...
That actually won my thing.
Okay.
Wow. This week.
So wait.
The big thing.
Wait, I'm sorry. No. I take mine back. What won my week? Missy Elliott.
Oh.
Missy Elliott coming back and dropping a video the night before this podcast, and she is the...
I still have to see it.
She's the ultimate geek girl, and that woman is 48 years old and still looks like she's 22 and is like goals. So that's what won my week.
And that's why Taylor Swift won my week. I listened to that first album. The new album is fine. There's a couple songs I actually liked on it.
I don't know her.
Just because I didn't personally like... This is what a completely different podcast. I did not care for the first two singles that came out. But there's a couple songs on that one that are not bad. Well, one my week, I'm going to say, is Still Ready or Not. But if it's got to be one of the stories, it's definitely The Matrix. That's very exciting. Anyway, that is what won our week. We were house divided. Let us know what won your week. Thank you for listening.
What pastry you prefer.
That's it.
Version of Adam you prefer.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Thank you for listening to the podcast. You know what to do. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. If you've never given us a review, give us a review. It helps out a great deal. And make sure you're also listening to all the other podcasts within the Sci-Fi Wire family. You got your Phantom Files, got your Days of Marvel, you got your Strong Female Characters, Battlestar Galactica, Debate Club, Untold Story, Geeksplain, Boarding Party, Behind the Panel. I think that's it. It's a lot of podcasts, but they're all good. So check them out. And as we wrap up, where can the listeners at home find you on the internet?
They can find me, Karima, the Blurred Girl, THEBLERDGURL, all over the interwebs, mostly Twitter and Instagram, and this weekend, Philly.
You can find me at Full On Ben, phonetically. It's just my name. Backwards, on Twitter, on Instagram.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
My name is Danny Roth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary, also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.